Maybe I could add something as a mentally challenged.
Sure.
Our daughter was very good in school. She graduated summa cum laude with a chemistry major. She was in France, I'm French. She was in France for 2 or 3 years teaching ESL. She was in the Canary Islands. She traveled widely. She was not mentally challenged. She, in her short life, she did a lot, which mentally challenged, I just heard and I thought, oh my God. Okay?
Nobody would have
called her mentally challenged.
So I'd just like to just address 3 issues. And one of them is this initial encounter. I wasn't there. I read the thing. There's basically 4 notes there on the chart from that encounter, but all 4 notes are kind of the same. Looks like they were almost written by the same person. To be honest with you, I don't really know how many people were in the room when this behavior was supposedly observed. And if it was in more than one occasion, I just can't imagine that trained medical people would stand there and tolerate that. It just doesn't ring true. We believe that this was the beginning of this, came from a medical student who was a, I don't know what her level of training or skill or knowledge was, but it's still a, I'm sorry, I said medical student, I meant veterinary student. It's basically a layperson. So she's basically starting this. She said, I observe this. I observe this behavior. And we basically don't believe that. We have actually, after this occurred, and we knew that this was going to come up, because we had a possessory hearing scheduled for the 24th, and I told her, I said, just write everything down the way you see what happened. Because honestly, we weren't there, and we need to know what happened so we know what we're dealing with. We're dealing with a court case in which they're trying to take our pets, our family. You know, these are family members. Paris was like, he was loved by everybody. He had this amazing personality. He was our favorite pet, all of us. Paris was a sick animal. So she brought the cats in there because she'd been taking them into another clinic, and that clinic was really, really good, but just we weren't getting the result. We didn't really, the diabetes was really brittle. And so so she came to Scottsdale Cat Clinic because they specialized in cats, and she said, I don't know where she got the referral, whether it was to online or from a friend or from another cat person, because my daughter qualified as a cat person. She worked at the Humane Society for hundreds of hours. I mean, documented hundreds of hours, thousands of hours. In one of the letters, they said she volunteered for 6,700 hours. She knew how to handle cats. She wasn't torturing cats. She wasn't pulling teeth. The El Dorado Animal Hospital, which made the diagnosis, and we suspected it for a couple months prior to that, because the cat was filling the box with urine, and there's no question that he was peeing a lot and seemed to be always hungry. And so we talked about it, and I said, I think he's diabetic. And I said, he's kind of old, but, let's take him in. And he went to the El Dorado, and they diagnosed it. I don't remember what their blood sugar was on the first visit. I'd have to look at the record. I don't have it with me. You have it. But it was really pretty high. It was hard to get him even into the 300s. So that's why she went to Scottsdale Cat Clinic. She went there, and then, a vet student saw her, accused her of behavior that she said was basically her kind of bragging about the experience she had. She was a vet student too. She didn't finish vet school, but she went to AVMA accredited schools, two of them. I put it in the complaint, it's in there. And she had some real experience with working in a third world country. She worked in the Canary Islands, which is off the coast of Spain. And basically, you know, there's like one vet there, and she went there for a couple of months on two different occasions. She went there for about a month at a time. And she was allowed to do this stuff. She was just bragging about what she could do, and she wasn't doing it in the clinic. I'm sorry, I'm just not buying it. And she said she wasn't. We gave you some, the material that she wrote down, it looks kind of, you know, scattershot because it was designed to be. I said, just wonder, you know, just keep a pen around, and then whenever you think of anything, you know, some of it comes back in pieces, just write it down, and then we'll look at it, everything. And we'll see exactly what happened. I think she pretty much covered that in that material. You know, yeah, I debated about giving that material, but I didn't know any other way to bring her to life, you know, so that you could get her opinion. That was written between the 19th and the 24th when the possessory hearing occurred. So that was contemporaneous. She was an exceptionally honest person. I have no reason to believe that she was doing something and then coming back and lying to me, because she knows I wouldn't tolerate that kind of thing. She wasn't giving medicine to cats. She wasn't doing anything. I don't know what she did there, but I suspect what happened is she was probably talking about how she has done this, has done dentals, has done stays, and so, if they say, hey, look at this, it wouldn't surprise me if she kind of lifted the gum to take a look, but she wasn't trying to yank out a tooth. If she where's the tooth? Did she take it out? According to the previous vet, the cats had dental problems, no question. They recommended that she wait until the diabetes was under control, and it wasn't. And the subsequent vet that saw her homeschool said the same thing. They said, you know, wait till we get this under control. And Paris ultimately had a dental and a couple of extractions in August. So I think this is just a big misunderstanding. I mean, there's no video of the actual event that triggered all this. But it seemed like a cascade of things happened. There's a whole bunch of people. It's like everybody's scheming against her. You know, police come and they're roaming around the clinic and nobody's going and talking to her. She's sitting in a room. They said, your cats are getting an antibiotic shot. And guess what? She's in there. I mean, if you have everything, you know what I'm going to tell you next. The call was made to the police at 5:18. The police were dispatched 1 minute later. According to the police report, she went to, let me just start over. According to the police, I know the number, I don't have to pick it up, I've got it here somewhere. According to the police report, that police officer went in to see her at 6:15. And she was in that room from at least 5:18 to 6:15, at least, probably prior, because I think they were calling the Humane Society even before they called the police. But we have documentation of those two things. The police report and the call transcript confirm that she was in that room by herself, no cats, for 57 minutes, nobody talking to her, nobody telling her why she's there. She's just sitting there, wondering, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? She was completely caught off guard when that cop walked in. Completely caught off guard. It's obvious. And he just asked a few cursory questions and he'd already made his mind up. He didn't do an investigation. He didn't get her side of anything. Nobody seemed to care what her side was. I don't know if anybody... It's obvious a lot of people talked about her behind her back. There's all kinds of comments in the videos. Negative stuff about her. Lots of negative stuff in there. You know, stuff that you wouldn't say about somebody unless you really knew what it was. I mean, on this transcript, it says her per Dr. Nelson, it says per RP, but that's Dr. Nelson. It says per Dr. Nelson, things owner is, and then they redacted it. If they told me I need a court order to find out what that word is. It's a short word. You said you have a copy of this? If you do, maybe you have that word. I don't have it. They told me we needed an attorney to get a court order to find out. Per RP, things owner is. 4 or 5 letter word might fit in there. So I'd say maybe crazy, especially since they're talking about her being mentally challenged. She's saying this nonsense to a dispatcher on top of it. Where's the emergency here? Where? And you know, she was kept in that room against her will. She was kept in there. She was kept in there by deception. There's no question about it. There's no question about it. What was she doing in there for 57 minutes? If they would have said, hey, Natalie, why don't you, you know, here's what's going on. We're going to just tell you what's going on. I don't care what the cop said or didn't say. What about common sense? What about common decency? Hey, we took your cats. We put them in a cage over here. We're lying to you. We told you we're going to give an antibiotic shot, but we're not. We're just keeping them so you can't have them. And we called the cops, and the cops are on their way. We don't know when they're going to get here, but they're on their way right now. And you're not going to get your cats no matter what. Do you think she would have stayed there? Really? Nobody would have stayed there. The only reason she stayed is because they lied to her, number one, and number two, she didn't want to leave her cats. These were like her children. These were her children. I have a prepared statement. This mentally challenged thing just got me off track.
It got me very upset.
Just totally
off
track.
I am the mother, and considering her accomplishment, I mean, who would call her mentally challenged?
I want to talk about one other thing, and it's an important thing. The records didn't go to the Humane Society. They didn't. Nobody gave records to the Humane Society. I've got the material here, which you also have. But you know, I've gone over this dozens of times, and I came up with something last night when I was going through it for like the 20th time. I went through it, you know, with a fine-tooth comb, and I want to just point out some things here. So both cats, they have a thing up here at the top that says condition. It says dental. I'm guessing the condition would be what I would call chief complaint. I really don't know. I don't know what the Humane Society does. I don't know about the record keeping, but I got two cats here. And for condition, it says dental. It says type and reason, exam, second chance, and then it says dental. And then it says veterinarian exam, and it says subjective, B-A-R. I don't even know what that means. Can somebody tell me here? Because maybe you do. What does B-A-R mean for subjective?
Bright, alert, and responsive.
Okay. So we got B-A-R. So then there's a short exam here. It has a pain score at the bottom. It says 1 out of 4. I don't know where that came from. There's no documentation that there's any pain, that cats are experiencing pain. One could argue, well, they got bad teeth, so maybe that's the pain. But, you know, that's conjecture. The cats don't act like they're in pain. How do they determine that? They give them Buprenex a couple times while they're there. Not consistently, I think on the 21st, and then on the 24th, no real documentation. But here's what I want to point out. At the bottom it says differential diagnosis. Okay, for one cat here, his name is Hershey. He was peeing out of the box. That's all we knew about him. Dr. Nelson, we told the cops that he had hematuria. That isn't listed in here. We suspected a urinary infection. We really didn't know. Nobody did a urine analysis. Not the Humane Society didn't do one. I guess they didn't have any reason to. But here it says differential diagnosis for Hershey. Cat we suspect has a urinary infection. Severe dental disease. Cloudy OD. Okay, he had a cloudy OD. I'll admit it. He had an eye infection. They suspect Natalie was working at the Humane Society. This cat had an eye infection. She was taken home to treat it as a foster. And it didn't clear. He was a kitten. He had to be bottle fed because he was so young. it never cleared. She said, you know, he's never going to get adopted. So we adopted him. That's why he got a cloudy OD, right eye. It says, rule out previous injury, viral infection, other. I just told you what it was, but you know, it's irrelevant because it was old. But what is relevant is there's nothing here about urinary tract infection. There's nothing in here about hematuria. Where's the records to these guys? On his lab, it says pretty normal. You know, a couple things out of range, but he has a high white count, 29,700. On Hershey, it's far worse. Paris. Paris, it's far worse. Okay, it says this is a totally out of control diabetic cat. Can't even break 400 most of the time on the downside. And here's what happens to him. He goes to the Humane Society. It says subjective BAR. It says then this is a short exam, just like before, and that he had a Gallop rhythm, which he had a cardiomyopathy, which was documented later. But it says differential diagnosis. Listen to this. This is a cat with 400 to 500 blood sugars, and that's why we took him to Scottsdale Cat Clinic. He's taken to Humane Society. It says differential diagnosis, dental disease, severe, Gallop rhythm, cardiomyopathy, hyperthyroidism, which was normal, by the way. I mean, the T4 that they measured. And then it says other, dirty ear, rule out cerumen, ear mites versus infection. And then it says acromegaly, pituitary tumor. He had these huge feet because he was polydactyl. That was one of his charms. I don't see diabetes on here. I don't see it. It ain't there. Differential diagnosis doesn't include diabetes on a diabetic cat, insulin dependent. Where's the records going from Scottsdale Cat Clinic to Arizona Humane Society? They can't read their mind. They would have had to go from, you know, nobody called me, nobody called my daughter and said, hey, your cats are here, we don't know what's going on with them. But guess what? This cat had blood work. The blood work showed on 4/20/18, which was the day that they picked him up, he had a glucose of 345. Pretty good for him, really. Okay, so on the rest of, so this is on, okay, it says reported out on 4/21. So on 4/21, let's say somebody picked this up and they said, oh, it's got a blood sugar of 425. 345, I'm sorry. So on here on 4/21, for treatment, it says observation, administer 0.19 ml of Buprenex, which is buprenorphine, a narcotic. On 4/24, it says update, observation. Then it says also another 0.18 of Buprenex, but nothing on 4/22 or 4/23. But guess what? On 4/24, it says lab other, and it also says that scanned in IDEX lab work. So this is the first time apparently anybody looked at this 345 blood sugar. So now they changed the condition from observation to lab other, which means I guess somebody noticed the diabetic cat. So they did, guess what? They did another blood sugar. I didn't even know this till last night. I put in the complaint that they never did another blood sugar. Well, they did one on 4/25. They did one on the day that we picked the cats up. Me and Natalie picked them up because they were released to me and Natalie. Ran blood glucose. It's buried in some place. It isn't on a lab slip or anything. It's just buried here. So I didn't appreciate it right away, but ran blood glucose. Blood work in-house, blood glucose, 686. Are you kidding me? On a diabetic cat, he's put in there. This is the Arizona Humane Society, 345 on day one, 420. They didn't repeat it till 425, and it's double, 686. We're happy that he was alive. Unbelievable.
Maybe I can see. I am going to keep it short, about 5 minutes. Okay?
Thank you.
Yeah. Paris was taken to Scarzer Cat Clinic to control the diabetes, as recommended by the previous vet, Eldorado. Eldorado said, you know, we have to control the diabetes before we go to the dental. That's why she did not, you know, treat the teeth. Eldorado said, we have to treat the diabetes first, okay? And then you could treat, you know, the dental. Hershey was taken in for a urinary tract infection, and, you know, they never look at that. They never look at the diabetes, they never look at the urinary tract infection, Scarzer Cat Clinic, you know, which they were taken in for. And our pets could have died from the incident. We were very lucky we got Paris back. Point number two, the whole office at Scarzer Cat Clinic was against her. They were all kind of plotted while she was stuck in a room for 57 minutes, not knowing what was going on. The cops were there, everything, 57 minutes, and she didn't know what was going on, okay? So that should have discussed the situation with Dr. Nelson. The vet should have discussed the situation with Natalie before calling the cops. I mean, I'm sure it could have been resolved by a discussion. All right? Instead, she was tricked, misrepresentation, in a room for 57 minutes, and then suddenly the cops come in, you know? All right. She was very rational when the police came. I'm sure you saw the video. She was very calm. Is this a joke? If she had been reacted to that, you know, they probably would have arrested her. We are lucky they did not arrest her, the cops, because she was calm. And of course, you know, they didn't wait for the 48 hours for the investigation, which is required by law. None of the other vets who saw the cats ever talked about abuse. The vet before, the vet after, we have the records. You know, we have tons of records of vets. Nobody ever said she was abusing cats, except Dr. Nelson. Bill tried to call Dr. Nelson to clarify things. Dr. Nelson would not take a calls. You know, they would not let her call Bill when she was there, and then afterwards, Dr. Nelson would not take, you know, the calls from her husband. As far as the Human Society, my husband was considered one of their best volunteers ever. We have proof of it.
You got it.
Yeah, I mean.
I never volunteered.
Yeah, no, Natalie was considered one of the best volunteer ever at the Human Society. I would drive her every weekend through high school, okay? I'm wondering about the money. They didn't look at the diabetes for the cats. They didn't look at the urinary tract infections. They immediately went to the dental, and then they quoted her about $6,000 for the two cats, okay? Well, afterwards, Natalie took the cats to Alma School. Yeah, she took the cat to Alma School. They did the dental job for $600. Okay? From 6,000 at Scarzer Cat Clinic to $600 at Alma School. I think there's something wrong here. And, okay. I don't think Dr. Knoxon acted in good faith as a reasonable person. And all they accused Natalie of doing was bullshit. You know, like scruffing the cat, she did not try to extract it. She didn't want the cats on the floor of the vet office because she was worried about germs. You know, she worked in vet offices, you know, they were clean the table, but the floor, it's a different story. She did not want her cats on the floor. Right? And the bigger one, she was not mentally ill. Mentally
challenged.
She was not mentally challenged. You know, you're talking about a kid when she graduated from college, UC Davis sent her a letter saying they wanted her on their PhD program, everything paid. So if you call that mentally challenged, okay, that's all. Okay. That's what I said.
And I'd just like to clarify something, and then I know we've probably gone
over. Yeah, we probably should wrap it up here pretty soon, though. Thank you.
She came in with two sick cats, not because they had dental problems. She came in because they had more sick. I mean, I'm not going to minimize dental stuff. I know it's really important. It's certainly important for, you know, cardiovascular overall health. It's definitely important. I'm not minimizing it. But what I'm saying is, she went in there, the main concern was the cat had, one of the cats was severely diabetic, and we were worried he was going to die. The last thing, and we had the vet before and the vet after said, yeah, let's get the diabetes first. We'll get the teeth later. There was a pivot in this clinic, Scottsdale Cat Clinic. It pivoted from why she came to this teeth thing. And then so it ended up at the Humane Society. Both of their primary diagnosis was bad teeth, but not the real diagnosis.
And again.
So once they pivoted and everyone was concerned about their teeth, nobody seemed to give a darn about their, you know, the rest of their body and the real reason why we brought them there in the first place.
And it gets the estimate by Scottsdale Cat Clinic.
Don't go on the money, that's not really relevant. There's no question they were cheap, they were expensive, but you know, it
wasn't. 10 times as much?
Okay, we'll shut up.
Okay.
So I've got a question if I may.
Okay, yes, so now we are going, the board members can ask you questions, okay?
Sure.
When your daughter arrived home that evening without the cats and a ticket from the Scottsdale Police in her hand, were her arms and hands scratched up and bitten?
They were not. And by the way, she didn't get home that early because she was so concerned that her cats were going to get euthanized at the Humane Society that she actually went over there to see if she could say goodbye to them. So she didn't get home till late. We didn't know what the heck she was because she called me around 6 or so. I don't remember exactly when she got escorted out. It must have been after 6:15. That's when they first talked to her. So maybe about 6:20. She called me right away, and I called, and then we didn't hear from her after that. And but there was no evidence whatsoever of any injury to her. But when you say, just come home that evening, it was late evening, so I wanted to point that out because it was important. That's how she felt about the cats. We figured 2 12-year-old cats, insulin dependent, they're just gonna put these cats down. They're not gonna find a home for them. Are you kidding me? She never thought she'd see those cats again. So I know I digressed, but to answer your question, I think I did answer it.
Ms. Solomon?
Yes, you mentioned the cat with fairly severe diabetes. I happen to be diabetic myself. That cat was insulin dependent, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who administered the insulin, the frequency, the schedule, the dosage?
I helped her.
Okay, so you kind of monitored what she was doing?
We had a glucose monitor, and we were really trying. He wasn't responding. We were really trying. I mean, I admit, I'm not good at giving injections and stuff like that because the needles are complicated and sometimes they're too short. You never know if you're gonna get it in the sub-Q or whether you're just going to get it on the surface of the skin because you got all that fur there. And then when we got bigger needles, then I was worried about, you know, am I going to cause a pneumothorax by going in the wrong place? I was scared. It's not easy. I mean, for people to do this on their own. Yes. We really tried. We weren't getting anywhere. Or if we were getting anywhere, at least maybe we didn't get that 686, like when you go for a week without getting insulin, we were down half of that. But we were still having trouble. And if you got the records, you saw, you know, we'd be doing these glucose tests, daily glucose tests, and they'd still, you know, we'd be lucky to get it in the 400 range. Never really did get it. I don't remember what happened after all this, you know. He died about a year later. He went into complete organ failure from, and I'm guessing it's because of the diabetes. But we did the dental they said we needed to do. We did that in August. We got an ultrasound on his heart because of the cardiomyopathy. We did all the right stuff. He died a month after we spent, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars on a cardiac ultrasound and an abdominal ultrasound. He had to have a thoracentesis because he had fluid on his lungs, and he had, forget what else all, you probably saw the report as you got the record.
One more thing I want to add. So Katz died 1 year after those incidents. Yeah,
A year later.
And they had a home. They had good care.
They had a home. Paris, I can tell you, the day before he died, he was sitting on my lap purring. The day before. My other daughter came just to say goodbye to him. That's how much she loved him. She lived in Denver. And he slept with her the day he died. We were actually going to take him to the vet because he was really shutting down. We were going to take him to the vet. We had an appointment on Saturday. It was actually 2 weeks after Natalie died, actually. He died right after she died. She was keeping him alive.
I want to say something about Natalie dying. I know it's not really relevant, but basically, she said that night that she had a stomachache. So we said, okay, let's go to the ER, you know. And then she said, no, I will wait until tomorrow to go to the ER. Well, in the morning, she had bled to death in a room. We found her, the room was full of blood, she had bled to death. And she turned out she had a bleeding ulcer. Okay, so totally unexpected death. And, you know, we have strong emotion, and I know it does not relate to, you know, to the cat thing, but I don't wish on anybody what we went through.
I'm so sorry for your loss of your daughter.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry for your loss.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, it was very atrocious, you know.
Totally
unexpected. She just had a bleeding ulcer, and nobody knew it.
Do we have any more questions for the complainants? Okay. You both can step back now, and then I'd like to give the respondent and their legal counsel another opportunity to provide any additional remarks.
Thank you. I've got a closing comment. I don't know if Dr. Nelson has anything to add after I speak, but historically, veterinarians have been put in a very untenable, difficult situation where they see evidence or suspect animal cruelty or abuse. And that is the entire legislative intent behind the statute, ARS section 322239. And this case all comes down to your application of that statute in this case. And in that regard, I fervently believe that Dr. Nelson acted in compliance, full compliance with that statute. She acted appropriately and in good faith in reporting not just a suspected case of animal cruelty or abuse, which the statute addresses, but in a confirmed, she witnessed actual abuse, as did two other of the employees at the hospital. None of us were in Dr. Nelson's shoes 4.5 years ago when she met the complainant's daughter for the first time. And just because you may not have taken action on what Dr. Nelson and the others saw, that doesn't mean that she committed any type of violation. The complainant's daughter, who presented herself as the owner of the cats, was not only making comments about self-treatment, abusing and mistreating her cats at home, but then when the subject of dental extractions came up, she said, well, this is what I do at home, and in their presence tried to forcibly pull out a tooth with her bare hands. The reporting statute is triggered when there's a suspicion of animal cruelty or abuse. Exactly, the statute says, a veterinarian shall report a case when they reasonably suspect cruelty or neglect. Dr. Nelson and the others had much more than a mere suspicion. They had actual eyewitness account of animal cruelty. Also, as you can confirm with your own counsel, Mark Harris, the statute is not discretionary. It doesn't say that a veterinarian may report a suspected case of animal cruelty or abuse if they want to. The statute mandates that a veterinarian shall report suspected cases of animal cruelty, abuse, or neglect. If a veterinarian fails to report a case of suspected animal cruelty or neglect, that in itself is a violation of the Practice Act. That is sanctionable conduct if a veterinarian fails to report a case of suspected animal cruelty or neglect. Not what Dr. Nelson did in this case. I also object to the comment that was made last month that Dr. Nelson was making a quote-unquote citizen's arrest. That's not supported by the evidence at all. She did not make a rush to judgment or even immediately call or notify the police. What she actually did was she didn't know what to do initially, so she called the Humane Society, the Arizona Humane Society, and said, this is a situation, what should I do? They were the ones who instructed her to call the non-emergency number of the Scottsdale Police Department. She wasn't out to have anyone arrested. In fact, she believed that the owner and the cats would be gone by the time the police responded to the call. Last month, one of you also made the comment that you didn't feel Dr. Nelson acted in good faith in reporting what she saw. Again, just because you may not have acted on what you saw doesn't mean that Dr. Nelson acted in bad faith. What evidence do you have that she acted with bad faith in reporting this incident? What was her bad faith motive? This was a client she had never seen before. She had no history with this owner, no axe to grind. And she's not an overreactive veterinarian who routinely files reports like this. Dr. Nelson took her duty to report cases of suspected animal cruelty seriously, and she had a duty to do that, and she exercised it sparingly. In fact, this is the one and only time in her entire career that she ever called the police department because of a suspected case of animal cruelty or abuse. Also, I want to point out that under subsection C of the statute, a veterinarian like Dr. Nelson who reports a suspected case of abuse, cruelty, or neglect is given immunity in connection with the reporting. The statutory intent behind that provision is that the legislature didn't want to punish or discourage a veterinarian who reports a case. They didn't want there to be a fear of negative repercussions. If you were to find a violation against Dr. Nelson and then sanction her license, that would fly in the face of the statutory intent of that immunity provision of the statute. And it would also discourage the reporting of cases like this in the future. Along those lines, I want you to consider your own mission statement in judging Dr. Nelson's conduct. Your mission is to protect the health, welfare, and safety of not just the general public, but also the welfare of animals. That was what Dr. Nelson was doing when she called the Humane Society and then followed their instructions to contact the police, who ultimately took action on her call. She was protecting the welfare of animals who were clearly being abused. This case should be dismissed with no violation. Thank you.
Thanks. Do any board members have any more questions for Dr. Nelson or her attorney? Okay.
Yes, how would you explain a 57-minute difference? What was being done to those cats that took 57 minutes?
Are you
talking? That combined treatment plan? I'm talking about between the police being dispatched and 6:15 the police walking into the room.
I believe the police were on the property. I think that it said that they were dispatched within a minute. So I believe the police have arrived.
Okay, but we have that documented, right? 5:19, or 5:19, they're dispatched, 6:15, they walk into the room.
What are you referring to?
Well, I'm asking, the cats were not in that room. There was a plan being written up, or actually, the treatment plan was already done, because it was already agreed to, and the cats had left the room to go be treated. So what treatments or diagnostics took 57 minutes? Or actually longer than 57 minutes.
So once the police arrived, everything went into their control. I stopped.
Do you know when the police arrived at the facility as opposed to when they entered the room?
Oh, they were at the facility for a while before they entered the room, doing police things, walking around and seeing the officials.
But that's still, you're still at 57 minutes. Did it take 57 minutes to do everything to the cats? Is there any time frame of when the cats left the room with her to go to the treatment, how long did each of those treatments take?
Or so the treatments themselves didn't take long. We finished just as the police were arriving. And then when the police got there, they said, do not return the cats. We're going to go in and talk to her. And then they took their time.
So you may both step back.
Thank you.
This concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter. So I don't know who would like to.
Madam Chair, I anticipate this could take a little bit. Can we take a little break?
Sure.
Quick.
Yep. Let's do a 5-minute bathroom break.
Please. Thank you.
We'll start to dance over here.
No,
I missed the first two.
Do you want me to give you the
lowdown? No.